For more on the market moves we're seeing play out today, I want to bring on Julian Emanuel, BTIG Chief Equity and Derivative Strategist, joins us right now. And Julian, appreciate you coming on here to chat. I mean, so far so good, the way the market's interpreting what we heard from Chair Powell.
In our view, this could be, over these 4 years, one of his best performances ever. He actually did three things very, very right, and obviously the markets are celebrating that right now. The first thing, given that we've all been Zooming like crazy over the last 18 months, to have kept your speech to 20 minutes, being succinct and to the point on a summer Friday, was a masterstroke. Second thing he did right is he sent the rest of the Fed governors out over the prior 4 weeks to basically tell us all that the taper was coming. He merely had to reiterate and reiterate softly that message, which he did very effectively. And then the third thing, and we think the most important thing, though we do think there are still some questions around this, is that he really tackled inflation head on. He knew that that's been the preoccupation of the markets for these last couple of months as these readings, and we had a new high today in the core PCE number at 3.6%, a level that we haven't seen in almost 30 years. But he tackled it head on, and while he didn't give any new real evidence as to why he views inflation as transitory, he did cite the ongoing moderation in commodity prices and the view that past history would indicate that inflation is likely to be transitory. Just very well done on Jay Powell's part.
Yeah, I mean, tough to really to kind of attack any pieces of it here, too. I mean, when we talk about the way that he's choreographed this, and you're right, I mean, it has been kind of a weeks-long effort here, months even, potentially, if you want to dig into kind of how he's been trying to prepare a lot of investors for what's to come here. On the inflation point, though, it is rather interesting, you know, in our discussion here with Patrick Harker, was talking about supply and demand side, you know, pressures right now. He's really leaning into the focus there on the supply side and kind of raising the questions that maybe the Fed isn't the best tool here to really fix what's going on in the economy. I mean, how much would you agree with that? In kind of what this becomes a period of them kind of backing up from the support they've given so far.
Well, I think that viewpoint is largely correct. Look, tapering doesn't really have a direct impact or leaving bond purchases where they are with reconciling the labor market imbalances, with reconciling the supply chain imbalances. But what it does do, in our view, is it actually potentially addresses what we think the chair didn't mention. And if you look at inflation, he talked about the flexible components, rental cars, airline tickets, gasoline, and so on. Those are the things that it's very logical to think will moderate and have been the drivers, by and large, of these large numbers over the last number of months. But what he didn't address was the stickier items. And to us, those are the things that are still unknown. Owner's equivalent rent really had been moderating its rise because of the pandemic. And what we see as potential to underpin inflation in the months going forward is this whole idea that you're going to have, factually, you saw the Supreme Court overturn the eviction moratorium last night. Mm-hmm. For one, that's likely to put upward pressure on rents. College kids returning to campuses for the first time in a year to a year and a half, putting upward pressure on rents. And then finally, and I think this is underappreciated, is this whole idea that we've had multi-generational one-dwelling nesting during the pandemic these last 18 months. As the pandemic dissipates, we're going to have denesting. All of those put potential pressure on these longer run, stickier measures of inflation, which is something that there might need to adjust the course of either the taper or the timing of rate hikes as we get into 2022.
Yeah, there's a lot still, you know, we're in unpredictable times, not just on the COVID front, but also now, too. I mean, when we think about how this economic recovery has been playing out, there's a lot of things to keep your attention to. But when we talk about how investors maybe should be navigating all this, I mean, if we are, we didn't get any updates on rate hikes necessarily here. But how do you see that playing out over, I guess, it'll be next year potentially there? And how investors should be maybe grappling with this rotation between value and growth if we are expecting to see that eventually.
So from our point of view, if you look at it, you go back to a year ago, September actually was the peak in growth versus value. And obviously, what's happened is the virus has moderated the trajectory of economic growth in the last several months to the point where it is a bit of a concern, and has also moderated the course of interest rates, which we think 10-year yields do end up moving higher as the economy stays on above trend growth throughout 2021 into 2022. For us, that's a recipe, particularly if we're correct about yields moving higher, for value stocks, financials in particular, to begin outperforming growth once again.